This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
A couple years ago, I met a young mom on the playground, and she had a newborn in one arm and a toddler by her side. And then we became friends. But then I moved overseas, and then the pandemic hit. One day I opened Facebook, and there it was, her post. She was battling with breast cancer, and it really hit me. But what struck me even more was what came after. She shared that after finishing her chemotherapy and healing from breast cancer, she felt this deep, undeniable urge to move. Not just to recover, but to feel alive again. In today's episode of Back to Movement, we are talking about that pull, the one that says, I need to move. This is a story of resilience, motherhood, healing, and how movement can help us rebuild, restore, and move forward. I'm your host, Bernadette, and please help me welcome Cecilia Salvans to the show. Cecilia, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to the show. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, can you tell us when were you diagnosed?
Yeah, I was diagnosed at the end of 2020. I was doing a self breast exam, which I never did, but it was COVID. And so my sister had just turned 40. So I was like, you know, I'll just give it a try. It was in October too. And then I found a very, very small, tiniest little lump kind of by my armpit. And I went to the doctor, and then that just kind of escalated, got a biopsy. Then it was positive for, I was triple negative. And then that ended up me doing genetic testing, ended up finding out that I had the BRCA mutation. And so early 2021, I did a double mastectomy. I then did 16 rounds of chemo, did my reconstruction surgery after that. And then I finished up the year by actually removing my ovaries, because with the BRCA mutation, you also have a high chance of having ovarian cancer. So it was all big spiral event. But yeah, it was 2021.
Mm-hmm. And what was that time like for you? I mean, it was the middle of COVID, right?
Yes, it was the middle of COVID. There was, I think vaccines were out, but there was like surges. At the moment, there was uncertainty if we were going to be able to do the surgery because there was no hospital beds. I actually was supposed to just go in and out of the hospital because of the lack of beds. And it was just all so sudden. I mean, you just get the call and it's like, yes, you're positive. And then you just get thrown into this medical frenzy. And I mean, I was 31, 32, and I'd known of people that had breast cancer, but no one at my age. And then just seeing my little boys, it was a very dark moment. But then once I got into the right doctors and understood my path forward. It was more of just putting one foot forward and kind of just continuing doing. Luckily, I was very fortunate that I never had a doubt that I would die or I wouldn't survive. So I think I was fortunate in that point because I caught it so early. I just had the mentality of everything will be fine. But it was really dark. It was, you know, just not being able to truly be present with my kids, you know, birthdays. I remember my oldest was about to turn three and or four. He was about to turn four. And it was the first year that he actually asked for a birthday party. And I was like, I don't have the energy. And I remember I did have a birthday party, but none of the moms knew I was going through cancer because it was COVID. Like, you didn't interact with anyone. They just thought I was wearing, you know, blonde wig because I had done a new hairdo. So it was all very, very new territory to try to put that mom guilt aside, even though you know that you're just battling, you know, this illness. So yeah, I mean, luckily I was very fortunate to have an amazing husband and community of people that I could really rely on. But it was, yeah, something I would not wish upon anyone. Mm.
You mentioned that even going through breast cancer, you had this mother guilt, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's like, it just gets worse, intensifies. Of like, oh, you know, when I had the surgery, I couldn't hold the kids. After surgery, I literally, I think it was about 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks. I mean, you were like a little dinosaur. My youngest was shy of turning two. They're really close in age. And so they didn't understand, you know, why can't mom pick me up? Why can't I give her a hug? They didn't understand why I was having drains. It was just, you know, looking back, it's blessing in disguise that they were so little because they don't remember anything. But at the moment, it's that mom guilt that just everyone has it, right? And it just intensifies with anything that's going on. But yeah, I mean, luckily I had family come in. My husband was very, you know, hands-on. Friends would show up and be like, hey, let's just take the kids out so that they wouldn't be around it as much, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a whole like 9 months of me just trying to be present, be this mom I wanted to be. But then as soon as the doors closed, I was this like complete, you know, person that just wanted to hide in the closet and not be around anyone.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell your kids what you are going through, or you just, I mean, they were little.
They were little. I mean, I think they questioned when I had a port put inside so that they could do the chemotherapy. And they thought it was like a Superman power type of thing because you could push it. So that was something. I actually had them help me cut my hair so they could be in the process of it. At least my oldest, my littlest, he's too little. But I was just like, oh, we're just, you know, it's getting hot. I'm just going to remove my hair. I try to give them insight, but not overwhelm them because he was three. So I just told them that, you know, mom's battling a sickness, but I'll be better. And in the meantime, I just want to get rid of my hair so that I'm not as hot. And when I did end up losing all my hair, I mean, they loved it. They love playing with my bald scalp. And then they would say like, oh, mom, go get your hat. Like, so they kind of just, they're super resilient. I mean, I think it's just the mom guilt that makes you feel worse than what it was. And looking back, they're like, why did you not have hair? You know, when they look at pictures. So they really don't even remember it now. But it's cute now whenever they see a pink ribbon, they're like, mom, there's your logo. There's your logo. So it's sweet that they still make that connection of it was something that was, for me, challenging and marked my life in so many ways. But they now associate it with great memories that we have with, you know, friends that I have made, and my walking team that I'm part of with the Susan G. Coleman. You know, there's just this whole other kind of life after that they were experiencing together.
I love it. Now, Cecilia, you mentioned mother guilt not just once. What did you feel? You know, like, how did you feel? Why did you feel this mother guilt?
Because I felt like I was being held back. I mean, I held, you know, It's not their fault that I couldn't pick them up. It's not their fault that, you know, I couldn't lift my arms or that I was limited to only carrying 5 pounds. You know, for the longest time, we don't have family here, or all my family, I would say. We have one cousin of my husband's, but all my family is all in California still. And we never did big parties. It was just a small little lunch. But when they finally started asking for birthdays, and it was still COVID, so like if you had a party, it was, you know, 4 or 5 mm-hmm. people, yeah. right? And they're like, oh, it's a party. And they're like, oh, I want a party. And I was just like, okay. I don't know. And he's like, but everyone else is having parties. And for me, I was like, it's his first ask and I can't do it because of what is happening to me. Like, it's not his fault. And so of course I threw a very, very small party at the park here in our neighborhood. But I was exhausted. I mean, I was wiped out for like a week after. And it's just something that you just self-impose. But it's hard not to. I think it's just as women, you have this expectation of what you want to do and what you need to do. And luckily, at that point, I got off of social media because I just couldn't keep up with anything. That like, what's everyone else doing and why am I not doing it? And it's not their fault that this is happening to me, so I can't limit them. And, you know, wanting to make everyone happy, which at the end just ends up, you know, backfiring sometimes.
So it was kind of like a self-preservation from your side. Like you just shut off social media, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a lot of, you know, just one, it was twofold. One, I was on social media and I was being able to connect with other young moms that had breast cancer. But treatments look so different. And you think that everyone gets the same treatment, right? But different countries have different protocols. And I started comparing, well, why is she getting this treatment and not me? And, oh, why is this happening to her and not me? And then it's like, oh, just all these little things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? I can't. And so I just got off of everything. And I was just like, you know, I just be with my family and the friends I know. And just kind of put one foot forward to be able to not get overwhelmed with everything else that was going on.
But that shows me such strength because you realize you're comparing yourself with other people and you realize you shouldn't.
Yeah. But I think it's funny because even now I have a Facebook, but
follow her.
Yeah, but even that, no, I'm pretty boring. But even there, you know, I'm about to celebrate 4 years. It's still going on, right? Now it's like, oh, is my husband, you know, are we doing all the right, you know, moves for soccer or for sports? I mean, it's ongoing, this pressure that we moms put on each other, and of just silliness, you know, that, yeah.
Do you think that maybe society pressures moms and women that we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to do that?
Oh, completely. I think it's definitely society self-induced, you know? And they say like everything that gets posted on, you know, social media is not the real truth. And it is true. I mean, looking back when I remember seeing all these posts of women with their chemotherapy, I never saw the like raw truth of them crying and the pain it is. And, you know, coming back from chemotherapy and it's not even the day of, it's 2 days later. It's everyone tries to be inspiring and positive, which is great. But at the same time, it can be this disillusion because it's like, well, how come I'm not experiencing that high that they are? So, I mean, it's this careful balance, but one has to really understand what is too much and what isn't. You know, they're kind of guardrails to put in. And luckily, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think I've been able to get back. So I've only have Facebook. I don't know if I can do anything else. The pressure is there. I think it only get worse the older the kids get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that they kind of like, you know, help you with certain things, and they kind of like enjoyed helping you, you know, with grabbing a hat or, you know, but how did that impact your approach to recovery and daily life with the kids?
Oh, I mean, honestly, now looking back, I definitely think I was just very depressed. I didn't want to move out. I didn't want to move. When I did move, I was very self-conscious of what everyone was going to think of me, what I looked like.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Also, when you go through chemotherapy, you're supposed to avoid sun. And so I took everything to the extreme of like, oh, well, I can't be in the sun because of the reaction it's going to have to my skin. So even if we had people over at the pool, I would stay inside. Mm-hmm. And so there was this limitation. The kids just never really saw it because they were so small. But yes, looking back, we were now, and obviously it was during COVID as well, but you know, if it wasn't because of the treatment and what I was going through, I think our lives would have looked very different in terms of what I did for myself and what I would do for the family. Yeah.
I feel like you had a goal, and your goal was to beat this.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you did everything and you went above and beyond. And that's what I see.
Thank you.
Honestly, when you're saying that, oh, you took it to the extreme. No. In order to be the exception, you have to be exceptional, right? You have to do those things. And you went and you followed everything, the guidance, and you had a goal, and here you are, you're here.
No, thank you. It was there was never a choice. I mean, I had two very, very small kids. Once I was done or in the middle of treatment, was 4 and 2, and there was no choice. I mean, luckily, we have some great resources, and breast cancer is one of the cancers that are most well researched. And I had an amazing team and relationship with my oncologist, and just what I was getting access to, that I just had to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that I was complaining. I remember going to my oncologist. I was like, I'm bald. I'm 20 pounds heavier. I don't look like myself. I don't feel like myself. What is going on? And they were like, well, we're just trying to get you to survive. And I'm just like, okay, you're right. You know? But it was one of those things that you have to go put one foot forward, you know, and find what works for you. And luckily I'm not the type to hold back, and not ask questions. I remember when I was, recovering from my double mastectomy, I had, what they call cording. And so one of my nerves from my arm to my breast, I don't know what it was. You could see this like bat wing, mm-hmm. and, it hurt. And so I had to go to physical therapy, and it was during physical therapy, I was just asking, you know, is this normal? I didn't know that you could also do like chemo, brain, which is basically like pregnancy brain, right? When you were pregnant, you remember how everything, you were forgetful. It's like that exacerbated. I remember cooking, and I'd be like, what am I cooking right now? Like, it just, I would forget. I'd go to the store and I'd be like, what did I come get? And she's like, no, that's totally normal with the chemotherapy, the side effect. And just from having conversations, I was told that there's also, you know, like cognitive therapy I was eligible for. So it's just one of those things that I never held back. And I always had a list of questions anytime I went to see my doctor. I was like, is this normal? Is this not normal? What should I be doing here? And if you don't ask all these questions, sometimes they don't just tell you everything, because their whole job is to get you to recover and then get you back to society without the everything else that comes along with it that you're trying to overcome.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, you had a goal.
Yeah.
You were so focused, I'm going to do this no matter what. I'm going to go through this because I have a family.
Yeah.
And you want to be there for them. And yeah, you did it, right?
Yes, I did.
So what were some of the biggest challenges you faced physically and emotionally during that time?
Well, physically, I think just, I was okay when I lost my hair. It wasn't too bad. It was when I lost my eyebrows and my eyelashes that it really like, oh, that one hit home. And that was, I think, the last 8 treatments that I had. So it was like a good 3 months. So there I, you know, that physical part, I really didn't like being seen in public. It's just something that I have big eyebrows, you know, and I've been very blessed. And so not having that was very, very hard for me. Emotionally, it was just the not feeling like the woman I was, right? Yes, I had a reconstruction, but it was these fillers that they give you. So they just kind of put like these Ziploc bags and they fill them up. You know, your breasts are not the same breasts. They don't move with you. It was even once I started to be able to move around, they said, oh, you can do whatever you want. You know, and I was like, okay, I try to do online workouts because obviously you're going through chemotherapy. So it's not like you can go to the gym, right? And COVID was still around. So I didn't want to like get sick. But I just felt weird. Like I felt like these muscles weren't what they used mm-hmm. to be. And it's crazy. I didn't realize how everything was so connected to each other. So it was just this constant, you know, new challenge to go through every day, whether it be, oh, you know, I have this like weird, what's it called? The phenomenal of like having your limb, but it's not there. Mm-hmm. So I would get like itches, like, oh my goodness, I feel like I have an itch. But I would scratch and I couldn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So because it's pretty numb after the surgery. And so I don't know. It was just all these new experiences that I had no clue. And I think the worst was just being alone in it, you know, because I didn't have any other young mom to talk to. Everyone else was, you know, going and talking about potty training and what are we going to do with the kids mm-hmm. and who wants to have a play date. And I'm over here being like, why am I having this allergic reaction to what I used to be able to eat? You know, why am I more constipated today? You know, why am I having this allergic reaction? So it was just this whole like different reality that I felt we were living versus everything else that was going on in the world.
So when treatment ended, what was the guidance you received from your doctor?
Oh, You're free. You're done. You're cancer free. Go.
So you had a test?
Right? Yeah, no. So not even a test. Was the crazy thing. Yeah. So I had 16 rounds of chemotherapy, right? At the end, they have you ring the bell and it's very emotional. The like not wanting to go back and have to go through it. But then they're like, okay, we'll see you in 6 months. And I'm just like, okay, you're not going to put me in a machine. You're not going to do anything. And they're like, no. And I was like, okay. They're like, yeah, you're good. And your hair will start growing back and everything. I was like, okay. And I think, so I finished my treatment in July. I had a reconstruction in August. In October, the first breast cancer awareness month after being treated, I think that's when I like kind of really emotionally lost it. I'm just like, okay, my hair is kind of growing back. My brain's not to what it used to be, but I'm starting to kind of look like it. And I remember I just spiraled and I was like, I haven't seen my doctor in 2 months. Like, what if it's back? I started, you know, getting headaches and I was like, maybe it's back in my brain now. And so I remember I made like an emergency meeting with the oncologist. I was like, I don't know, am I okay? And they're like, yes, you're okay. Why would you think you're not okay? And I'm like, well, because I haven't seen you in 2 months. And they're like, no, you're totally fine. But yeah, that's one thing that, you know, I wish there was a little bit more of this transition between being seen almost every week by all these doctors and nurses to then just saying you're done and you're free and you can do whatever you want, just listen to your body. But I was like, okay, but I want to start working out, but what am I supposed to tell people? Like, oh, I have implants, but like, it's not just an implant. It's like a mastectomy where I have no like fat or anything and it's under my muscle. Like, I don't want to have to open up to these, you know, people I don't know. So it took me a while, I would say, to get the courage to really take life and be like, okay, I'm ready to tackle it. I'm ready to be the old Cecilia I was, or not the old Cecilia, because I don't think I'll ever be able to be that old Cecilia, but the new version of Cecilia and be able to take it by the reins and really be proactive in what I wanted to see in this next phase of my life.
A couple of weeks ago, we met on the playground and you mentioned that even during the treatment, you felt this urge. You really wanted to move your body, but they told you not to. And you said that you really wanted to move your body. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that really inspired me.
Yeah. And so it was during 2021. So COVID, I mean, it was still around. You're still being cautious, but obviously it wasn't as bad as like 2020. But you know, you just have this itch, you know, when you like eat a lot and the next day you're like, oh, my stomach hurts. Like I felt like my digestive system was off. I knew I wanted to do something. And before it wasn't like I was this athlete. I wasn't in any gym or anything like that. But I think it was just the fact that I wasn't able to, that it made me want to. And then knowing that I had to retrain myself, right? Because, you know, I took it very seriously, the fact that like they took body parts from me and then put in something foreign. And then wanting to be able to train back, but still being super cautious of like, okay, well, it's not like I can go into a studio or a yoga studio. The doctor did say yoga would be great or Pilates. But again, I had this fear of going into a studio, not having still a very low immune system and having to tell people, I guess. I wasn't at that point that I openly was able to say, oh, you know, going to a studio being like, oh, I'm dealing with this. But there was this itch of wanting to be able to be and have the capacity that I used to have, right? Of being able to throw my 3-year-old in the air and to run around and, you know, and go in the swings and play handball. And with my legs, I was fine. I could do anything of that, but it was the upper body that I was scared of. I didn't want to mess anything up. And obviously given Texas, it was very hot, right? So yeah, I could go on walks, but you know, by 9 a.m, it was hot and, you know, like muggy and mosquitoes love me. So it was just kind of very limited in terms of what I was able to do. I did try the online stuff, but again, I was complicating things in terms of, am I doing this movement right or am I not? I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to backtrack. But there was always something of like, okay, I need to get back to what I was so that I can be active with the boys. Because they were like, okay, you don't have any drains in you. Like, why can't you do this? Let's go do this. And I'd just be like, okay, like just give me, you know, just pretend I'm a turtle, right? And let me slow down. So it was this thing that I wanted to just make sure I was able to keep up with them.
So again, your motivation was your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was my family to be able to do that. And then I remember once So I gained weight through chemotherapy because of all the steroids that they had given me. And then in December, when I decided to take my ovaries out, they mentioned, okay, well, now you're truly going to be into menopause if you're not already there, which I think I was already. But I didn't realize what menopause was, you know, until now that I'm into it. But I remember, like, I was really watching what I was eating, being very healthy, very, you know, once you're off chemotherapy, they're like, okay, you're not killing everything that's in your immune system, in your stomach, so you can have more fresh vegetables. It wasn't as cautious, right, of making sure everything is well washed and not eating out. So I was a little bit more adventurous in terms of eating out and having more fresh vegetables that are not from my house that I knew what was being they were washed in. But man, I mean, my weight just kept increasing and increasing. And they're like, well, you're in menopause now, like your metabolism is off. And I was like, man, okay. And so that's when I was just like, okay, no, I have to do something. And that's when I really was like, okay, there's no more excuses. I need to take it, you know, my physical, body more seriously. And I actually joined Orange Theory, and it was probably the best thing that I needed.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Emotionally, that I didn't know, and then physically, it was good to be able to move my body, and I was fortunate to have some really amazing instructors that they noticed I was hesitant when some of my like bicep curls or some of the movements. And that's when they never asked in front of people, but they're like, hey, is everything okay? And that's when I kind of told them, and they're like, no, okay, that just means you actually have to work harder. We have to get those muscles moving. And so they were very amazing with being able to help me and push me in terms of don't let your mental limitation truly physically limit you, because it's not. That's just in your head. And so it was something that, like, then I just started thriving on it. I was like, I have to go move. I have to. And the days that I didn't, I felt like I was just sluggish. I'm not the type of person that can wake up at 4 a.m. and go work out and I'm like on a high. That's not me. I still like am very hesitant, but it just feels good. It feels good to like move your body and to be able to keep up with the boys. So
why Orange Theory?
I had friends that are in Orange Theory, and it was nice that we were all motivating each other. Mm-hmm. And I loved the water rower. I'm a huge water rower person, and I love the weights. The treadmill, I don't like running, so I was always just walking, but I knew that I needed some cardio. And then once I started realizing the effects of menopause and, you know, how you should actually avoid more cardio, it should be more heavy lifting, it kind of motivated me to do that. And I just love that you're in it, you go in, you don't have to think about it. Someone's telling you what to do and, you know, pushing you. All the instructors that were there were just great. And they really invested in each person. And I really do truly feel that they pushed me to really make sure that I wasn't giving myself an easy way out. And then it was just more of tracking of like, okay, I remember I hit the 200 classes in the first year. And I was like, okay, if I did that in the first year, then I want to do that the second year. Right. And then it was just a challenge to myself to, make sure that I was just moving my body. I do remember going to the doctor and I'm like, I've been working out more than I've ever worked out in my life. And the scale is still the same. And they're like, it's menopause, you know? Mm-hmm. So you just have this new body that you have to adjust to and realize that that's just a new me, right? I have to be moving my body. Because regardless if I liked it or not, you know, I'm in my late 30s now and I'm already in menopause, right? And so I have to keep moving to help my joints. And I do realize there was a time during the holidays that it was just craziness with the holidays and just, you know, people being sick in the house and whatnot. I didn't work out for 2 months and I had never experienced back pain until I once, like, I don't know how I lifted myself and I'm like, oh my goodness, I did something. And that's when I realized I hadn't been working out, right? And all your muscles, everything's like, you know, you have to keep working at it. You can't just expect to take a 2 month break and then go back right back at it.
That's when usually people get hurt.
Yes.
Because they have a break 2 months, you know, and they go back and they think they can do the same thing what they did 2 months ago, but they had a 2 month break.
No. Yes.
And that's what usually happens. They have something.
I remember I texted you, I was just like, I have never experienced, like, I didn't know what back pain was until that moment. And it was debilitating. I remember, yeah, I was like, I did it and I felt that I strained something. And then like 4 hours later, I was just in bed. And I told my husband, I was like, I can't move. Like literally, I don't know what I did to my back. And it was the simplest little thing. But that's when I realized, okay, like I can't. I have to just face reality. I am in menopause already. I have less, I don't have any hormones. So I need to make sure that I'm forcing my body to produce and to stretch my muscles and to move them because I don't want to have to, you know, not be able to do something. You know, I haven't still taken the kids skiing, you know, and that's a goal of ours to go. We weren't able to go this winter, but I want to be able to keep up with them on the slopes. And so I have to keep moving to be able to live the life that I want to, regardless of what has happened to me in the past.
Wow. Now, how active were you before you had breast cancer?
Oh, I would say I was very inactive. I was very, very fortunate to be one of those like skinny fat people, right? Yes, it's a saying, Bridgette.
Oh, okay.
You would look and it's like, oh, she looks like she works out, you know, but then, you know, I was just very soft, but I was grateful that I had a great metabolism, right? I never was, you know, eating extremely bad, but I also was making, you know, was, you know, having some drinks on the weekend, pizza night. I would consider myself active just running around after two little ones, which I do think is activity to a certain extent, right? Taking them to the park, especially a park that is not fenced off. It's a lot of work.
It is.
But other than that, I was never part of a gym or anything like that, or had that urge of wanting to be working out all the time.
Do you think that going through this breast cancer changed the way you think about movement?
Yes. Yes. And it wasn't until, I think it was right after my double mastectomy, right? And so it's like pumpkin carving. Like they went in and carved out everything and I didn't have anything much to begin with. So I was like, it'll be fine. But I remember I couldn't even get out of bed. Like the fact that everything is so connected with your core, your upper body, your arms, like I couldn't even, like my arms were so weak. I like any pressure movement, it hurt. And so that's when I realized, okay, well, I have to do something once I'm able to, because, you know, unfortunately I did get it, fortunate, however you want to see it, at a very young age, right? In my early 30s. And so I want to be able to live as long as possible and be able to move. So it definitely forced me to understand how connected and in tune you have to be with your body, mm-hmm. right? And it's a machine and you have to feed it the right, you know, foods. You have to make sure that you're getting enough greens, vitamins, and sleep. It's like this concoction that you have to really make sure that you're focusing on. And then again, once you hit menopause, it just gets even exacerbated. You get tired. And I just felt like I just got a lot more moodier when I wasn't working out. So I do think it opened up my eyes to realize, oh, you should be working out to take care of yourself, not just to lose weight or to look good. It's like a car. You have to continue tuning it up if you want it to be able to drive the, 100,000 miles or whatever it is these days that a car should be living to, right? So that's what it really kind of opened my eyes in terms of, you can't just take it for granted. You really have to focus on movement and looking at your body holistically.
Yeah. I like when you say that you don't just exercise to look good, because I think these days that's what we do, right? Nobody cares about as much as how much the scale shows. We just want to feel good in our bodies. I do believe that every mom, especially, we don't care about how we look. We go for the feeling. We want to feel good. We want to be there for our kids, for our family, to take care of them, to enjoy like skiing or any activities with them, because who cares about the scale, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. As long as you feel happy with what you are. And I remember I did have to go through, therapy, and an amazing therapist that helped me get back to being able to see myself in the mirror and love that person that I saw there. It did take me about a whole year after to really accept that new person, because it wasn't the old Cecilia. The new Cecilia is now in, was in menopause, and, I ended up just getting rid of all the scales because, within a couple of days I'd been up a couple pounds, 5 pounds, and it was normal. Like, water retention was just different. And so for me, I just really kind of focused on making sure I felt good in the clothes that I was wearing. And that I felt good in terms of what I was putting in my body. I do think that there's a fine balance of, not going too extreme in terms of, oh, I want to be super skinny, size zero. If that's not what your body is, then you can't be that, right? And being self-conscious and having this inner look inside and being realistic in terms of, am I truly treating my body the right way it should be? And if I'm not, then I can't expect myself to be a size smaller when I'm not feeding it the right thing, or if I'm not moving. And that's when I also started really kind of, with help of my husband, just making sure that we were trying to be as conscientious of what we're doing and putting in our body and how we're moving it, and, looking at our steps and just making sure that we are being as active as possible. And it's nice, this past weekend, my son gets a lot of really bad allergies, but on Sunday he's like, "Mom, I'm not feeling well, but maybe let's go on a walk." And that'll help me, move my body, and it'll help me move. And we had just been traveling because we were away for spring break, but that made me realize that, they're understanding that sometimes how you feel in the morning has to do with how much you've moved your body, right? And that connection there is there. So it's a whole, learning process.
I think you were able to teach them good things, like what you went through. It wasn't just all bad. I think you taught them really, really good things, like movement and staying strong and like going for the goal. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to do this. And I think kids see that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're very resilient. They're very smart. They can connect, even with that whole like pink ribbon, right? And being able, they're like, "Oh, that's my mom's logo." And, with my walking team, sorry, we tried to, you know, do fundraisers and promote and connect people. And I know my oldest, I know I talk probably more about him than I should. I don't want to, I love both my kids, but you know, they're just like, oh, who's this friend? You know, who is this new friend? And I love how my kids now associate the like pink ribbon with this kind of sisterhood, right? And it's been a big kind of goal of mine to be able to put myself forward, which is when, you know, invited me to be on this podcast, I said, yes, you know, if I could get myself out there and connect with younger moms, because it's unfortunate, but the reality is breast cancer is occurring more and more in younger, you know, moms, that I would love to be there for them, which is what I would have loved to have someone there for me. And when my kids see, you know, this new friend that I've had, and they bring their little kids over and they're like, oh, who's this new mom? You know, because we don't go to the same school or the same soccer or, you know, events that we go to. You know, I was like, this is my sister, you know, the pink ribbon. And they're like, oh, okay. And it's just a connection, right? So I think the boys will hopefully continue to want to be engaged in that aspect and be an inspiration that it is, it's just a phase in life that you have to recover and move forward. But at the same time, be cognizant of the today, because you'll survive, right? I wish I would have taken more pictures of myself. Mm. I don't think I took enough. And it was mostly because I didn't like who I saw. I didn't see the person I knew I was. I saw everything that breast cancer took away from me, but I never saw I never saw myself as a warrior. You know, everyone's like, you're a warrior, or you're a warrior, you're beating it. And I was just like, I'm just doing what I have to do. And so I wish I would have taken more pictures and not cared as much. But again, it's always easier to look back and
talk. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Tell you what to do, right?
Always. Yes. Always. Always.
Yeah.
How was your first workout? Do you remember when you went back? How did you feel? How was it?
Oh, I remember I thought it was easy, because I was like, oh, okay. But I wasn't pushing myself, right? I was like, oh, the rower. Okay, this is cool. Like, I like this. And then the instructor was like, you're not going nearly as fast as what you're supposed to. You're not pushing yourself. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I remember the first one, like, and, you know, I was getting used to the whole machines and all that. So they weren't as tough on me that day. But I do remember being like, oh, even if I took it slow, I was still sore. Mm. And I was just like, oh, wow. Okay. That just means that like I haven't moved. And that made me, and I love feeling sore. But then the more I went, you know, the second or third time and they realized that I was still going slow, that's when I was hesitant though. Cause again, like I didn't want to hurt myself. I didn't want to have another surgery. I didn't know, like no one tells you what you should or what you shouldn't do. And like, for instance, if the instructor hadn't told me, oh, okay, well, no, we actually have to work, you have to lift heavier when you do chest press because you need to help that muscle regain its strength. And I was like, oh, and I thought lifting heavier would like tear the muscle, right? The like naiveness of not knowing how that worked. But it felt good. It felt good. And then the more that I felt comfortable with the instructors, the more positive and happier the outcome was, right? I felt like, oh, I did it. right? I did another workout. And, you know, when you are able to go from a 5 pound to 10 pound, mm-hmm. it's just like, I got it, you know? So it was very nice to be able to have those small wins throughout the whole time.
So always the small wins, right?
It's easy to forget to celebrate the small wins. But when you've gotten so much taken away, sometimes those small wins are the only thing that really keeps it going.
Do you think that you look at these small wins a little bit differently than before? You know, that you celebrate small wins now?
Oh, definitely.
Or before, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because again, sometimes, I mean, it's, you know, you have to have the small wins, because when you're going through such a long journey, they always tell you just take it week by week, right? Because, you know, when you have one treatment, and depending, you know, the intervals, but if you go back and your blood is not at the number it's supposed to be, then you can't get treatment again. So your timeline has now extended another week, right? And so you have to remember going, being like, yes, I can get chemotherapy. But at the same time, I was like, no, I need to do, you know, like now it's the whole recovery part. But you have to do the little small wins to be able to, at least for myself, push myself to want to continue going. Because it's easy to give up. It's easy to be like, I don't want to do it anymore, right? But at the same time, you have to keep doing it because you want to knock off one more treatment. You want to get to the deadline. You want to be able to, you know, start working out so that you can lift your kids and be more present and do more things that what you used to be able to do.
Many times I'm just amazed and you're so inspirational. You're just saying you have to, you just need to push yourself, and you're such a strong woman.
Thank you. Yeah.
Were there any movements or exercises that felt better, or they didn't feel good, or do you remember any of those?
I think they were both like, they felt awkward but felt good, and it was more stretching. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, just when I was in physical therapy, they had me, you know, with just flex bands,
yes.
Right? And it was just simple movements of like putting it down and lifting your hand. I'm like, oh, okay, I can feel it. And then just being able, yeah, to just stretch. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things that's like, oh, can I continue doing it? Can I not? But then the more I stretched, the more kind of relief it mm-hmm. also gave me at the same time. So yeah, I think it was just the whole everything. You know, I felt like I was learning how to use my body all over mm-hmm. again.
Was there any movement that was really difficult?
No, not that I can remember. You know, it's funny because at least for me, I still don't have the full sensation back. So sometimes I would be doing this like, you know, across kind of like arm bow thing, and like, I wouldn't know that there's, you know, my new implants were in the way, and mm-hmm. be like, oh, okay. Like I need to readjust, you know, my angles and stuff. But I don't think there was anything it was too hard for me to do. Mm-hmm. It was just, if anything, it was just probably more mental of me not wanting to do it in fear.
What role does movement play in your life at the moment?
Oh man. A big role. I feel it emotionally, mentally, physically. You know, one, at least, and again, I know I've said it multiple times, now that I'm in menopause, it's just a whole different thing in the mornings. You know, when I feel bloated or, you know, anything, it's just like, I need to move my body. It's just, the body is telling me I need to move. and then being able to keep my heart rate going, right? I have my husband's father is getting older too, and I'm seeing, you know, how the older you get, the less immobile you get. And I saw my parents back home, and, you know, they're also they don't prioritize moving their body, and they never did, right? They had to continue working. But now I see my mom and my dad, and it breaks my heart. They worked so, so hard, and now they're always aching. They have all these aches and pains. And, you know, my mom's to the point maybe almost needing kind of like a cane because she has a sciatic issue. And it's more of, again, just they didn't have the ability to prioritize their movement. And so I've been very blessed to be able to have gone through what I went through and realize that I need to prioritize that movement for myself to be able to move. And with my job, I'm, you know, very fortunate to be able to work from home. And so because of that, I'm able to work out first thing in the morning instead of having to drive to by the Galleria Mall. I can work out and be back at the house at my desk by the time I would have driven to the office. And for me, that's something that I will never take for granted because it's what sets my day right. And I just feel like I get to move all my body and stretch and be stretched in the right ways to ensure that I'm giving it that like daily tune-up that it needs to move.
So it's kind of like sets your day.
Yes. And if you ask my husband, he'd be like, oh, you haven't worked out because, you know, I haven't, you know, it's my 1 hour that I get to just not think of anything. Right. And as a mom, as a woman, as just you're always throwing so many balls in the air, right? You know, what are the kids going to wear for, you know, the back pictures, you know, what snacks do you have to do, you know, soccer and what are we doing and dentists and whatnot. And it's just, there's all these things. And there's never enough time. Everyone's like, oh, I don't have time, I don't have time. But there's always 30 minutes, right? Of being able to do small things, even when you're brushing your teeth, you know, but just moving that, getting to move your body is something that no one should take for granted.
I absolutely agree with that. Even 20 minutes or 15, or even if you just have 10 minutes, I think you just feel better.
Yeah.
You know, you're just moving your body. I think it's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Just for our physical, but for our mental health. If I don't work out, I feel the same way. My husband can definitely tell if I don't work out because I don't feel good mentally, not just physically. For me, it's more like I need it mentally every day. I just, you know, work hard and then I just don't think. Mm-hmm. As you said, I don't think about what my son needs to wear on the day or the snacks or the lunch, dinner. You're just there to purely work on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get everyone's like, well, you should do it for yourself. But at the same time, my family is myself, right? That's a big, big component of who I am. And I don't want to be limited. At least maybe not today, but I don't want to be limited in the future. So yeah, it's something that you have to continue moving.
Yes. What advice would you give to other women going through breast cancer who might feel unsure about start exercising or, you know, once they finish the treatment, can you give them three tips?
Yeah. And obviously, you know, when you're going through chemotherapy, if anyone needs anything, I would love to connect with anyone. Going through chemotherapy or going through breast cancer, one, it's just scary to be told you have cancer, right? So the first tip is it's not a death sentence, right? It's just this challenge that you are having to overcome. And then second is don't allow that to limit yourself. Obviously, there was COVID when I got diagnosed, but that not being the case today, work with your provider, your doctor to see what they would recommend. And if there are, you know, probably want to avoid big gyms because just your immunity is low, but know and invest in yourself if you have the ability. And if not, there are so many resources out there to be able to help you obtain the access that you need to ensure that you're moving yourself. That's one thing that I do wish I would have done is work out while I was doing it, right? Just for that mental escape. And then the third is don't allow other people to tell you what to do or to not limit yourself. And just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you don't have the strength that you had. You know, you can still go on lots of walks. You can lift yourself. You're not going to hurt yourself, you know. And if you would hurt yourself, the doctor would have said, avoid doing this or don't do this. Obviously, the first 6 months after your, if you do reconstruction, there are limitations like any surgery. But after that, push yourself, right? And talk to the instructor, or if you're taking it online, you know, message them. Don't be scared of asking questions. So many things that are virtual. I mean, you do your virtual, like if someone were to tell you, be like, hey, this is what I'm going through. Or if it's a bigger program, like there's someone behind that program that's a human being that will know how to help give you guidance. So don't be afraid of asking for, you know, modifications or, hey, this feels a little weird. Is this what I should be feeling? Instead of what I did is, oh, I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to hurt myself, because I don't want to go back to surgery or anything like that. Because it's not going to be the case, right? People can modify. There's always modifications to everything. And so, yeah, I think that those would be it. It's just, you know, it takes time to get the diagnosis and to come to that realization, and everyone's on their own path. But you have to be your own advocate, and your whole body's all interconnected. And the sooner you can advocate for yourself and advocate to move, I think the easier and better the recovery will be in the back end. Did I give you three?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was perfect. Cecilia, thank you so much for joining the Back to Movement podcast today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
No, thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart. It's my way of kind of putting forward and helping. It's part of my healing process. You know, I think it took a lot away from me. And so being able to be here and give back, even if one person hears it, to tell them that they'll be okay and to just continue moving. The worst you can do is to sit still. Then it was all for a reason. So thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for the listeners to listening to the Back to Movement podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Cecilia Solans and your host, Bernadette. And I hope I see you next time.